Heavenly Father, as we enter this Triduum, we thank you for calling us to be part of these beautiful liturgies where we celebrate the death and resurrection of your Son and his undying love for us. And we are especially aware tonight of the institution of the Holy Eucharist, that he's given us this living memorial. May we never receive your grace in vain, but through our cooperation, allow you to transform us always to become what we receive and to be your presence in our world. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So St. Paul declares in one of his epistles that God has provided exceedingly and abundantly for all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And that's kind of what we're celebrating tonight, that Jesus, having taught the disciples for 3 years, is now preparing for this event where he willingly lays down his life for us to save us from our sins. And he wants to make sure that after this event and after the coming of Pentecost, that we remain strong in our faith and not fall away. So he gave us some wonderful things that we're celebrating tonight, and there's three of those that I want to talk about that the church invites us, especially during our Holy Thursday liturgy, to celebrate and be aware of. And the first, of course, is the institution of the Holy Eucharist, and I just mentioned that. And we see the first reading from the book of Exodus, the Passover, and we celebrate the fact that tonight Jesus is the new Passover Lamb. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's a very biblical phrase that we use throughout our liturgy. And so he is the new Passover that we will celebrate faithfully until he comes again in glory. That second reading from 1 Corinthians 11. Every time you do this, you celebrate the death and resurrection of the Lord until he comes again. I was doing a Mass earlier today, this morning actually, at Kennedy, and I said, that could be tomorrow, could be 10 years, could be 1,000 years. We don't know when that's going to happen. But I really believe, and I know that throughout the world, there will always be a group of faithful disciples who will be celebrating joyfully the Eucharist until he comes again in glory. The numbers are decreasing a little bit. People are falling away from their faith. I shared that statistic, I think, last weekend about how for the first time in our history as Americans, less than half of the people in our country say they belong to a church, a synagogue, or a mosque. In 2000, that number was 70%. It's now 47%. So we're kind of falling away from faith and everything, which means that we should be all the more grateful that we get it, that we understand and love the Eucharist, and we're here tonight to celebrate faithfully this wonderful evening that the Lord has given us. In order to have this gift, he instituted the ministerial priesthood, of which I am a proud member, and almost 24 years will be this summer. And these vestments I'm wearing tonight, I don't wear them very often, but these were given to me by a dear friend who was not well enough to come to the ordination. So she gave this to me as a gift 23 years ago, and I just don't wear them a lot because they're kind of special, and I sweat a lot and I wear things out. But I thought tonight is a special night and I want to get it out and wear it. But he gave us the ministerial priesthood to help so that we offer Mass faithfully every day on behalf of the people, for God, for the glory of God, celebrating the reconciliation that the Lord has brought. And I just want to remind you of how grateful I am for your prayers and support. A lot of people texted or emailed me today saying, thank you for your priesthood, I'm praying for you. And I really appreciate that because I need all the prayers I can get daily. And then lastly, and we're not able to reenact this tonight because of the COVID restrictions, it's great that last year there were like two or three people in the church, so this is much better to see your beautiful faces, even though they're masked tonight, that we are able to have some sense of normalcy back with us. But we're not able to do the foot washing tonight because of the COVID restrictions. But that's what he left as an example, that everything we do is always so that we can be liberated from selfishness and sin to be available for God and for others. Love of God and love of neighbor. So all of our celebrations, the sacraments that the Lord has given us, the Bible, our scriptures, our teachings, our catechism, are all aimed at helping us reach our full stature as brothers and sisters in Christ and to be sensitive to the people around us. And so Jesus gives us this humbling example where he washes the feet of his disciples and says, this is what you have to frame all these things in the context of service to those around you. And it's never that God just gives us something to keep to ourselves. And that's how our faith grows, is when we share it with other people and we're excited about it and we want to invite people to come join us for Mass and we're excited about what God has done for us. And so this is an opportunity for us to remember that that service is always to give God glory, to thank God for his goodness and generosity to us. And I love when people share their stories when they have Eucharistic encounters with Jesus. And I just want to share one with you tonight. I don't remember if I shared this in the past. I've only been here 4 years. And you have so many stories. You're like, have I already said this or not? So if I have said it, pretend you haven't heard it. But once we had a wonderful search ministry in college, and we were in Genesee, Idaho, this little podunk town on the way down to Lewiston and Clarkston. And we would have our retreats at this old abandoned school, St. Mary's School there. And my friend Matt, a good friend of mine, who lives up in Palmer now, he was in the little room where we were going to make a chapel, but Father Mark hadn't come with the Blessed Sacrament yet. And I think he was first on for the first talk, so he was a little nervous because he had to give the first presentation. So I saw Father Mark come in the door, open the door to the little side room where we were going to have our chapel. And then about 10, 15 minutes later, I saw Matt come out, and it looked like somebody had hit him over the head with a 2x4. And he just was kind of goofy looking, more than normal. And he said, "I will never, ever doubt the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist." He said, because he said, "I was in that room and I was thinking about my talk. And then when Father Mark came in with the Blessed Sacrament, the whole environment changed. And I knew that he was present. And it was just the most incredible thing I've ever experienced." He was just dumbfounded by that. And I always remember that. And other people have shared stories with me too, and I have my own stories, but I love when people are reminded of that the Lord is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the gift of the Holy Eucharist. And when you have a Eucharistic encounter with the Lord, make sure you share it with someone else to encourage them and get them to look goofy and dumbfounded. Awe and wonder in the presence of the Lord. I guess that's what you call it, not goofy. I'm not changing my terms here. And then one last thing, you know, I love the fact, and this just shows the nature of our Lord, that he's patient, because poor Peter, he puts his foot in his mouth a lot. I can relate to him. And wash my whole feet, and you're not going to wash me. And so, you know, it's like, Peter, just calm down. Let me do what I need to do. And then Jesus says, "You don't understand what I'm doing now, but you will understand later." And that's his patience with us, that a lot of people don't understand the Eucharist, and a lot of people don't believe, and they think it's just a symbol or something. And so Jesus is always patiently waiting for us to be drawn into a deeper understanding of that encounter with him in communion. And so we need to be the same way with the people around us. If somebody expresses doubt or they don't understand, we don't just, you know, snap and break them in half. We say, "Well, let me tell you about my experience of the Lord in Holy Communion and some experiences that I've had where he's really helped me along through some very difficult moments in my life." So that's the way the Lord responded here. "You don't understand what I'm doing now, but you will later." So we need to be the same way with one another and be patient and merciful, but always trying to draw people into a deeper communion with him and with one another. The very last thing I want to do is just wish you all a most blessed Easter. Maybe some of you are going away to your families or some other place, but I just want to wish you a blessed Easter. And we want to just take a moment to thank God that we're able to gather this year. It was so hard last year not to celebrate the Triduum and just to have such a bare minimum kind of experience of the liturgies, because these are the most important liturgies that we have throughout the whole year. So I'm so grateful that we're in a place now where we're able to gather and have pretty much a normal celebration. But we can't let our guard down either, you know, because some of the cases are rising in different places, so we still have to be vigilant. But thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here tonight to celebrate this beautiful liturgy. And I wish you all a most blessed Easter.